This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a
stand. Take a stand. Live off the record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Scotiabank.
I got a feedback happening there. Please help. I know it's not live. So can you, let's see, get that up. That's what I'm using right now. I'm going to so, producer, is listening to me? Hello? Are we still here? Okay. Producer, we have to take a break because the echo is really bad. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break and try. Okay, maybe we got it sorted out? All right, sort it out now. No more echo. Thank goodness. All right, and my guests are saying it's better too. So thankfully, it is so. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 9M on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can do so on any of the following numbers, 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Well, every year, these wonderful human beings do something that's very noble. And I'm always delighted to support their effort in doing so because it means so much to our future generations of Bahamians. I'm talking about the primary school awards program. And we've had the privilege of having some of the facilitators of that program join us to talk to us about what's going on. And this year is no different. And so we've got Brother Pratt. Brother Pratt, I believe, one of you are leading this charge. So, you know, y'all have an insider who does line y'all up, who knows that I can't say no to him because he got a position of power over me, right? So this is how he invited you all this year. He said, so which day are you giving us and what time should I tell them to be there? And I said, well, you know, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, line them up. So
yes.
And let's talk about this important program.
Well, good day, Mr. Lang and Bahamas. It's awesome to be here this afternoon. Talk about the Bahamas Primary School Student of the Year Awards Program. Like you said, it's happens annually. And the thing that has us really excited this year, we know about all of the challenges that have come through the pandemic. This is the first year since 2019 that we actually able to have face-to-face all of the nominees from throughout the length and breadth of the Bahamas is going to be here this year. And so, again, the first time since 2000, and excited about this year's program and what's going to happen and how it's going to impact the lives of these young, striving Bahamians.
Well, now, the last time you were here, I remember that you were having to do this virtually, and you did, but you gave us some striking numbers in terms of the number of students you've already touched through this program, and I think the financial cost of doing that. Where are you now on that, on both those statistics?
Well, basically right now, some of the others jump in right after this, but I would say, right now, since 1997 until now, we have over affected or impacted over 2,800 primary school students over the years, with over $2.2 million in scholarships and prizes presented. Mm. So it is definitely a labor of love. This year, in 2022, we have a total of $205,000 in scholarships and $50,000 in prizes. So that includes like airline tickets to come in, trophies, medals, computers, other prizes, you name it. And so we are just so elated that corporate Bahamas, as well as personal donors, have really deemed it, you know, necessary to sow into the future of this nation through this program. And this year, is one of our stellar years, because every child, every nominee is going to walk away with at least a minimum of $1,000 scholarship this year.
Wow. That's, you know, I some people are late bloomers. So they come to their education excellence later in their school development, like in high school. But I believe, and the educators could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that a lot of students get their motivation and impetus and start for excelling in school, in primary school. And I think they get it by these recognitions that happen. And I know I could speak for my own self, it's only anecdotal, but it happened for me, because when I found out that I came second in my class, I was, well, if we had 28 people in our class, I came 25th when I was in fourth grade or so. And my father took me to the back of the yard and he said, listen, if you don't do better than this, you see that mango tree? I can hang you on that mango tree. The next year I came fifth, right? And then after that, you know, I came second in my class, and the teacher told my mother, I didn't know. But my mommy went home and cooked me this big pot of pea soup and dumpling. And bro, I've been waiting for pea soup and dumpling ever since. And so I think people get that motivation in primary school.
And I think that is an excellent impetus, because again, prior to this program, there was never any program that really addressed the primary school level. And I think especially at that sixth grade level and transition now into junior high, and high school levels, depending on what type of school system that they're in, it's very important, because it's a time in a child's life where they make some decisions. I know, especially for young men, sometimes that's the time when your head swing, when you start to go, now you were doing well in primary school, but now you're going into junior high and you're getting into all of the peer pressure. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pivotal time, but you know, I'm going to turn this over on to Mr. Surreal Roll, because he actually was a 2002 nominee of the program. He was the sixth runner-up, and so he can give you firsthand what that meant to him.
Well, hold on now, brother Roll. That means this was like for you 2002. That's like 20 years ago.
Yep, that was 20 years ago.
Wow. Okay,
it's
now
a very long time.
You gotta talk to us, man. Talk to us.
Yeah. So, in 2002, my principal, she sent me a letter, told me to take it to my parents. I took the letter to them, and then they were like, "Okay, we have to make a portfolio." Now, at the time, I didn't really understand what was happening, and when I actually finished doing the portfolio, they said, "Okay, we're submitting this to the." Very excited, I'm like, "Okay, they nominated me. I'm gonna go in, and you know, we're gonna try to." Do it as best as we can in this competition. I show up there, like hundreds of students, hundreds of people. I'm like, whoa, this is a lot of people. And really, at the end of it all, I didn't expect to get sixth with all those people there. It was just surprising that I did finish that high, especially going there and seeing everyone from the Queen's Colleges, those obvious primary schools and all that stuff. But at the end of it, I was like, wow, okay, so I did really compete. And I ended up moving on to St. Augustine's College. That was the scholarship that I received was actually the start of how I started going to St. Augustine's College. And that kind of changed the trajectory of my life, I think.
You know, let me have people understand some things. The first time I went to one of those award ceremonies, I ain't lie to you, right? I was invited to go and I was thinking, okay, you know, I'm trying to be supportive. I was stunned to see all those people and all those students in that place. Stunned, right? Because it was, and you say you came sixth, that's a huge deal, because you're right. It's like everyone and it's all the schools, and it's a big deal to finish that high in such a substantive program. And so what are you doing now, Brother Roll?
So currently I'm an IT auditor, IT internal auditor at Kalina Insurance.
Okay.
So I kind of audit information systems and do recommendations how they can improve their IT.
Mm. My son told me recently, he's 13 years old. We were driving and he said, Daddy, you know, I feel so much smarter now. I feel like I'm one of the top students in my class. And, you know, because I'm doing so much better now. Like, what did that do for you when you finished the way you finished in terms of your mentality? If you can remember, was there something distinct that happened to you in your mentality, your attitude?
Well, my attitude was always that I wanted to achieve, but actually getting recognition for that, that's when I was like, wow, okay, so we can get recognition from achieving. So it was just an extra impetus to actually try my best at school and everything else.
I got you. Now, I see an Adriana Knowles. Is Adriana going to speak to us?
Hi, yes. Good afternoon, Adriana here. A pleasure to be on the show.
It's good to have you. Hi, Adriana. Did we lose you? I think you're muted. Good.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes, good afternoon. Our nominee or a participant in the program, I have met and engaged with some of the students over the years. I would have joined in 2013 as a committee member. And it's so exciting each year to see how much they've grown, their creative strategies, their backgrounds, you know, what they have accomplished despite the odds. So yeah, it's always a fun and engaging time to be with them and to crown a winner.
I can well imagine. Okay, so the program is happening this year, but Pratt, when, where, and what else?
Well, the program is happening this year on June 11th, which is Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. It's happening at the Church of God Auditorium, Joe Farrington Road, promptly at 5 p.m. The award ceremony will be aired live on Cable Bahamas 212, and also it'll be live streamed on our Bahamas Primary School Student of the Year Foundation Facebook page. And of course, you can always find out more information about us on our website. But I think one of the things that's so positive about this year, we have 102 nominees representing the Providence, Grand Bahama, all the family islands. Like I said, we have over $205,000 in scholarships that are going to be presented. And the only thing, of course, you know, in this new COVID environment, things are still a little bit different. It's not open to the general public. But what we're doing is all of the nominees, they are allowed two guests, parents or just two guests. And in keeping with the COVID protocols that have been established for graduations and award ceremonies by the Ministry of Health, guests would also have to show up with proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test that would have been done within 48 hours. So that is the only sort of difference right now in the program, because we still are in a lingering COVID and we are not able to open up to the general public as yet. But definitely we are very, very grateful that we're able to have all our nominees in and their special guests in. And like I said, everything will be aired live. So it's just like you there. So, you know, please come on and take a look and see how the program pans out this year.
And how many students are you expecting this year?
Oh, could you say that again? I didn't.
Yeah, how many students are you expecting?
Yes, there's 102 nominees this year.
Okay.
102.
Wow, nice.
52. Sorry, and we should point out that 52 of those students are from the Family Islands, and 50 will be from New Providence.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, you know, Grandma, I'm going to get mad at you because you lumped them in the Family Islands, even though I used to do the same thing. But, you know, it's special. They like to be called, they like New Providence, Grandmama, and the Family Islands. But Grandmama's there, right?
Yes, definitely Grandmama's there.
Well, listen, we want to wish you once again, it's tomorrow, right?
It's Saturday.
Saturday, sorry, yes.
Yes, it's the 11th Saturday at 5 p.m. It'll be broadcast live, but it's at the Church of God Auditorium, Joe Farrington Road. And we are just elated once again to be able to sow into these young lives and to just look at them as they come back and they just become contributing citizens to the society. And, you know, we're really proud of the impact of this program because even as you could see, Mr. Saria Roll, 20 years later, has come back and joined this very foundation. Wow. And so we know that it has a tremendous impact on the lives of young people as they go towards their goals. And we help steer them in a positive direction and trajectory to accomplish all that they are called to be and to be an asset to this nation in the future.
What year is this for the program again, please?
This is the 26th year, yes.
Okay, now the next thing you're gonna aim for is to hold at least one of these in one of them Family Islands, like Grandma, I put the plug in.
Well, you know, we never say never.
That's all I'm saying, I'm just putting the plug in. I might try to make it happen too. Anyways, folks, so glad that you could join us today. And thank you for all the work that you're doing and all the contribution you're making to the lives of these young people. And you get to see how they're turning out. Our brother Roll is here and so many others. Thank you again. We appreciate your work.
Thank you. We appreciate being on your program.
As mentioned, we will be carried live on Cable Bahamas, the title sponsor of the 2022 awards program on channel 212 beginning at 5. And we will also stream live on our Facebook pages. That's the Bahamas Primary School Student of the Year Foundation, and Education Spotlight. And also we encourage everyone to pick up a copy of the Nassau Guardian this Friday, where we will feature our 2022 nominees.
All right, but Roll, did you want to say something?
Yeah, and you can also check us out on our website, bahamastoy.org. You can look at the history, our patrons, our board of directors, all that other good stuff, and any information you need.
All right. Well, listen, again, thank you very much. And
last but not least, we want to thank 96.9 Guardian Radio for always supporting us, allowing us to come on your program and just highlight these young dynamic persons. And just in general, we want to thank all of those persons who sponsor the program, because without it, without sponsorship, you know, we are a nonprofit organization, nothing would be possible. So we want to thank all of our corporate, personal, individual, church, civic organizations that contribute towards these young people. We just want to say a great big thank you. And of course, you know, our title sponsor, we thank our Rev.
All right, man, we got you all. And one brother Moss, Andre Moss, he have you all too. All right?
Yes.
You're the well, man. God bless and thank you very much again.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break and talk to you about the future. Okay, we'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
World. Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. Want a new car? New furniture? A weekend trip to Miami? No problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. The area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can 424-796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So you have to take some time to try and see this clearly, and then maybe you may understand what it is that I'm going to try to convey. I'm not saying I'm correct in what I'm conveying. I'm just saying I'm trying to convey something born of a set of thoughts I have that you may or may not agree with. And that's fine. No problems with that. So let me just preface this by saying, sometimes people say, I don't listen to other people's opinion, or I don't regard other people's opinion and what have you. There was a time in my life that I had with great clarity, and probably in some instances you could say you were right. If you're saying that about me now, I mean, I can tell you, you are dead wrong. That's a perception you have, but you're dead wrong. When you see me challenge people and really fiercely challenge people, here's what I'm doing. I'm stating not Shivago Lang's fact, because a fact is impersonal to somebody, right? That 1 + 1 = 2 is not personal to Shivago Lang. That's a mathematical equation about which we can only argue with a sort of insanity, right? Now, you may find a solution to 1 + 1 that's not equal to 2, but you can't simply state that as an opinion and expect that to be displaced in the world of established fact on that basis, okay? It is not a theory, it is a fact, reverse of mathematics, that is the case. There are theories which in science are understood to be theories, and while they may be the prevailing truth of the moment, they are also recognized as truths that could be replaced by better theories. We understand that. If somebody does a study and the study has an outcome, we can challenge the study, but we have to challenge the study. What we can't really do effectively, you can do it, but you can't do it effectively, is simply say, well, my opinion is, without any rigor attached to your challenge to the prevailing study's outcome. That's hard. So if I challenge you, that's what I'm challenging. I'm not challenging your opinion, ability to have an opinion. No one can take an opinion from you. And if you want to speak your opinion, even if I don't want to listen to it, you can try and get it out to me. But what I don't do on CLAG is let you try to establish your opinion as a fact in the face of facts. I'm not going to do that, especially when there's such clarity on the matter, right? And I know some of us, we get like, we're very thin skinned. We will push our opinion hard on people and then turn around because the other guy's maybe more articulate, or the other guy's maybe more forceful, or the other guy's maybe more persuasive, and say, oh, you think you know everything. Man, that's childish game. People used to play that with me when I was a child. As a grown adult, you can't put that on me and expect me to be distracted by that at all. Now, I do state my opinion as my opinion, and guess what? My opinion is probably worth a nickel or a dime, depending on who's listening to it. That's all it is. It's just an opinion. And so you don't have to get angry with me. You don't have to go in your little corner and talk, I hate that man, I hate that. You don't have to do that. You just say, listen, that's his opinion, no problem, move on. This is mine. That's all it is. In my opinion, a nickel or a dime, depending on who's listening to it. Some people might think, well, I like this guy, I know his thoughts, I think he has good thoughts, so I respect what he said. I may not agree with it, but I respect what he said. That's fine. Some people say, man, bull crap. And that's fine too. What I want you to know is, when you go and talk about me or you write about me or something, I don't lose 1 ounce of sleep at night on that. I have a routine for getting to sleep that works really well for me. And it does not involve being disturbed by anybody's thoughts. Right? So understand that today I'm talking about something that represents really a set of thoughts for me. Okay, so here's what it is. I believe that one of two things are going to happen for the Bahamas as a consequence of what is happening in this country and has been happening in this country for nearly now 30 years. Well, let's put it like this, almost 20, yeah. So from about 2001, you know, 2001, the Bahamas has been a country with lackluster, mediocre economic performance. Lackluster, mediocre. We have in that period probably averaged around 1%, if not lower, average growth on an annual basis. That is really mediocre. It certainly does not create levels of employment, levels of economic activity that generates the level of prosperity that gives comfort, pleasure, and security to a population of people. It does not. And that's one of the reasons why people in this country feel down in many ways on their overall material circumstances. The people who have learned to enrich their hearts, their spirits, their minds, and to see beyond their material probably aren't being as greatly affected by that material, financial, economic circumstance as are people who are not doing those things. And that's a lot of people. So lots of people in the Bahamas feel the hustle, the thousands upon thousands of unemployed, on unemployment level now, the order of probably 10 to 15%, right? And the thousands and thousands of other underemployed combined with the fully employed who are economically stretched because they are so committed that they have no real room for maneuver in a large way. The population feels stressed financially, economically, and it is impacting upon their emotions, relationships, and the life. And trust me when I tell you that that is playing itself out in all kinds of problematic ways in the country. Okay? So, and this has been an enduring circumstance now for more than two decades. I don't know how to put that in perspective for you, but that's a long time for a materially, people used to material prosperity to find themselves in a tight. That's a long time. I remember when the United States of America under Barack Obama. They had a period where they kind of shut down the government because of budget stalls. You know, they couldn't, in Congress, they were on an impasse. America is the wealthiest nation on planet Earth. Americans have one of the highest per capita incomes on planet Earth. That shutdown was not more than a month or so. And Americans who work for the government, mind you, listen to me, who work for the government found themselves on bread lines. Yeah, asking for food on bread lines because they missed maybe 1 or 2 months of salary. Right? This is one of the wealthiest nations in the world. These were people who, they're civil servants. They have permanent, secure jobs. That could easily happen in the Bahamas too, that people, once they don't get that income for a month or two, they'll be at social services in this country. You could believe that because of no savings, no ability over months to be able to secure themselves, right? And that situation is where we are. We have a lot of employed people who are on a tight situation. We have a generation of Bahamians, we call them millennials, I've said this before, who live in a Bahamas that has not, for them, had any period of sustained prosperity. In almost 30 years, those people have not seen in their youth or adult life a prosperous Bahamas. They've not experienced that. So they know what hustle is. They know what press is. They know what economic tightness is. I can't call it hardship because relative to what people are in African countries and some Latin American countries and some Asian countries, they're not even close. But relative to the aspirations that they have about what living in the promised land of the Bahamas is supposed to be, they have not seen that. So, to my mind, that kind of sustained and enduring level of economic tightness, sustained level of economic pinch, that no longer ability to rely with great enthusiasm and optimism on the staples of the Bahamian economy, tourism and financial services, is going to do one of two things to many Bahamians. And my suspicion is, depending on how it turns, in 10 years, the Bahamas is going to be a blissfully prosperous place, or it's going to be a place of immense cynicism and continuing downward economic trending. You hear that? One or two of those things can happen depending on what this same period has done. I'm not talking about the pandemic period and Dorian period. I'm talking about the decade, the 2 decades plus since about 2001. And if you look at the economic numbers, you can just check it out. You can look at it yourself. But I find it for you. You know, I can tell you what the Bahamas' economic growth has been over that period. Because it'll show you. Now, to put that into some perspective for you, let me say to you that if an economy like the Bahamas is growing 3-4% or higher, it's really nice growth. That's good. That's really good growth for the Bahamas. 3%, 4%, 5%. 5%, 6%, 7%, you are hot. You are red hot. You start talking about tight labor markets and that kind of stuff in an economy like that, unless you have what we call jobless growth, which is possible. But you're growing at, to put it in perspective, if you're growing at 3% or what have you, you're doing really good growth. So let's look at some things here. In 1998, the Bahamas' economy contracted, shrunk, got smaller by 4.5%. In 1999, it grew by 12.2%, right? In 2000, by 4.1%. Remember, Shabara said, looking at starting in 2001 thereabouts, remember? That's what I said, okay? In 2001, 6%, 2.6%. This was, remember, the terrorist attacks in the United States, which created some challenges for sure. In 2002, 2.7%. In 2003, negative 1.3%, that contraction. In 2005, 3.4%. In 2006, 2.06%. In 2007, 1.4%. In 2008, negative 2%. That's the Great Recession, remember? In 2009, negative 4%. That's 3 years of negative growth. In 2010, 1.5%, nothing. In 2011, 0.6%. That's less than 1% growth. In 2012, 3.1%. So you're getting a little better. But in 2013, negative 2.7%. In 2014, 1.1%. In 2015, 0.2%, less than 1% again. In 2.4%. In 2017, 3%, 3.1%, good growth. In 2018, 3%, again, good growth. But 2019, 1.2%, and then 2020, the pandemic hit, and you contracted by 16.3%. If you average out that growth annualized, you are looking at less than 1% on average growth in the country. That is nothing. Nothing. You don't make significant prosperity progress in an environment like that. And that's been what people have had to endure. Now, the question, we always look at, oh, what the employment rate is, what's the inflation rate, what's the current account doing, what's our international reserves doing, what's the Bahamas' dollar value doing, We look at all these things, and they are important to look at when you are assessing the status of an economy. But what we don't hear a lot about, and we don't really measure it, it's not really, there are probably ways to measure it, but we don't do it, is what is the psyche of the collective Bahamian population doing in response to this enduring mediocre economic performance? What attitude? See, let me tell you what happens. We understand, right? When events happen to us, those events produce in us an emotional response. Good events, good bad events, bad emotional responses. If those emotional responses last for a short period, we call that a mood. So a couple of weeks, you start saying, but he's in a mood. If they last for months, you know, we start calling that an attitude, right? So you've gone from an emotion, a feeling, that's the short-term response to the event or events, to a mood, a couple of weeks of staying in that those feelings, to an attitude, that's months. So now that's an attitude. She has a negative, he has a negative, he has an angry attitude, he has a depressed attitude, to a character when it lasts years. Now people start saying, that's just him. She's a sad person, he's a sad person. They are angry, bitter people. That's what people then tend to do. Because it is the standard characteristic display of your behavior. It's rooted in the initial response that you have or had to the event or events that took place. So what is happening to us now? Did we have a feeling based on these mediocre economic performances that has now come to be a mood? Is there a mood in the country? Might that mood be reflective of this continuous changing of governments? Oh, are we now in an attitude, and that attitude is, I don't trust none of them, I don't care about none of them, I can change them every minute I get? Or maybe have we now come to have a character? So we just are cynical people, we just are pessimistic people, we just are people who don't believe and trust in much. What has this period, what is this period doing to us? Because in the diagnosis of that collective attitude or that collective assessment of our response to this period might be the prediction of what we are going to look like 10, 15 years from now. That's my theory of the case. And that's where we start. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, for news. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, this issue, because I'll tell you what I kind of think, just what I think. We'll be back after this news break.
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5% of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny was burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, and I'm happy to hear from you, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I was prior to our break, explaining to you really what has been the recent economic history of our country, a mediocre, lackluster 20 plus years in terms of economic growth. Some people have gotten wealthy in that period for sure, but lots and lots of people have stuttered or found themselves in a worse economic circumstance than they were in prior to that period. Lots of people don't know what it's like to wake up in the Bahamas and say, wow, I just such great opportunities. And that's one of the reasons why so many of our children, having studied in the United States or Canada or somewhere else, they're opting to find ways to stay there, hoping that something works out for them. It's not because that's where they want to be, you know. That's where they find opportunities because they look at home and they just don't see. Like when I went to university in 1987, after my College of Bahamas days, man, I couldn't wait to get home. Could not wait. And you can tell me that the Bahamas that I was living in wasn't a place where I could thrive. And the truth of the matter is, when I came back, it took me a little while to get into something, but I had that optimism at least. And there was no reason for me to feel otherwise. I lived in the Bahamas that was relatively prosperous and seemed to be on the uptick in some ways, you know? That's not the case and had not been the case for far too many Bahamians. So remember now, and I want you to remember this for your own personal life. If you are living, if you are alive, you are going to be subject to events on this planet, good and bad, events. An event is something that happens to you, happens around you, something that might even happen in you, right? So you might lose a loved one, get injured, you might lose a limb, you might lose a job, you might lose a business, you might find yourself in the significantly decreased income. You might experience some severe health issues. You might lose a loved one, as in separation, divorce, or you things will happen. Or you might get a promotion. You might win an award. You might find yourself in a new wonderful situation. You might find a new love for your life, right? So these events happen to us. We have emotional responses to these events, right? If it's a loss, then we might grieve. If it's a gain, we might find happiness. If it's a hurt, we might find anger, experience anger. We have emotional responses to these things. Now, depending on how we process those emotional responses, and the key I understand is how quickly we are able to put them into perspective, because what happens is the way we interpret them largely determines how they affect us. So there's the emotion and then there's the affect, right? And so what happens is if we have these emotions, these feelings, that's what it is. An emotion is energy in motion. It's how you feel your thought in your body. That's what an emotion is, right? So every emotion is a feeling that is a translation of the thought you have in your body. You're scared. You feel that in your body as fear, right? You get excited. You feel that in your body as, you know, jubilation. And so what happens is, depending on how you interpret this, if the thing lingers, you then set in this mood because you've been like this for a little bit. Then you set in this attitude because you've been like that for a long while. And then you come to have a kind of character. And so now that's you. So what is the situation with us is the question. You know, if we could actually measure the collective emotional condition of the Bahamian population, what do you think it would reflect? Are we still in a feeling born of what we have seen, experienced economically? Or do you think we're in a mood? Or do you think we're in an attitude? Or do you think we're in a character now? What do you think? Tell me, come on. I've been talking for a little while. We have some notes here from some folks. So Mr. Lang, thank you for a realistic talk on the economy. Always, I don't wanna talk to you about anything other than what's real, because fantasies don't help us now, but I thank you. This text says, I agree wholeheartedly with how you run your show. I'm not Bahamian, but I've noticed, especially since the era of talk shows, that we have a cadre of armchair experts on any number of subjects who will choose to circumvent facts in order to get to their opinions. Now to your topic. I've always believed in investing in oneself. I've never been employed by the state, never earned minimum or anything close to it. I made the best of a high school education and a number of self-development courses. I've been employed in various industries, and in every case, I've ended up in top management. I've been self-employed now for some time, and I'm preparing myself for an uptick in the economy. But even if that doesn't happen, I'm confident, barring some catastrophic event, I'll be okay. Trust God and be true to yourself. Now, good or bad deed goes, no good or bad deed goes unrewarded. Very well said. Very well said. And I agree with you 100% that I've always told people that I can never be unemployed in the Bahamas. Yes, I could not have a job, meaning I could not be working for somebody, but I'll never be unemployed. I may not make all the money I want to make, but I'm not going to ever be unemployed, because I can always find something that I can do to earn an income again. Maybe not the income I want. And I've been there. You know, when you're trying to build a business, you're not earning the income you want. It can be very tight. It can be very, you know, when you're going to fire people from politics, you know, severance pay. So, you know, but I can't be unemployed. I can't be, right? Can't be. And that's the attitude and position you want to put yourself in to the extent possible. And how do you do that? First of all, attitude, you know what I mean? Industry planning, self-development, you know, that matters. All of those things matter. We have some text here, I'm not sure if these relate, but say we need churches to convert their buildings into housing for the poor, the sick, care center for the elderly and orphans, Hope Center for domestic violence victims, okay? This text says, Mr. Lang, you remember under Bill Clinton, Alan Greenspan, the Fed's chairman said that the U.S. economy was like a runaway train. The Bahamas got great economic profits from that period. You're right. Where the dot-com bubble first appeared was a tremendous period of economic growth for the United States, and the Bahamas did definitely benefit from that significantly. And that was one of the longest sustained economic expansions in our history, right? It says, living with COVID doesn't mean throwing caution to the wind. Cavalier abandon is ridiculous. Living with COVID means, like, really? I mean, like, I understand, right? But this is just a late something? I mean, listen to me. In light of what we're talking about, let me read it for you. So living with COVID doesn't mean throwing caution to the wind. Cavalier abandon is ridiculous. Living with COVID means carrying out your daily activities with extra caution. 2020 was way different from today, Dwight. Man, come on, man. And it just reached. This text says that lackluster period of low growth then requires a different method now of doing things. Enforcement of taxes, new revenue streams, extreme reduction of expenses, etc. Better financial management and more proactive and preventative measures than. Okay, thank you. Okay, can't argue with you that, but really, really, like, look at where you start. It means now doing things different. Enforcement of taxes is where you go. Economic mediocrity and associating that with enforcement of taxes tells me that you're not quite getting what it takes to turn an economy around, because the last thing you really want to do in an economy that's lackluster is to, like, emphasize taxation. That takes you in the opposite direction, okay? You need to unleash innovation, right? People need, like, not you guys, the government can't do this, like, people, and this is leading me to where I'm going anyways. No problems. So we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, brother. Like, how are you doing?
Hey, great, man. How are you?
I'm always great, man. Good topic today. You know, I'll chime in, you know, but certain topics, I'll chime in. And you're making a lot of sense. That text a while ago, he's spot on. See, like, all kind of things in this country make money. A lazy man and lazy woman will never make money. Mm-hmm. I got a young friend told me, say, it ain't how much money you make, it's how much you save. Mm-hmm. Our people don't like the same Satan built. I watch the government get them a whole. You ain't got a license car, that's a shorter car. That's a bumper down line. Now you have the whole year. Now, I short is working. The people who work in the hotel line, they cooks, they technicians, they everything. Now you can tell me now, they can't go and work myself and do some things, like. Our people think they're tired of saying things. Government job is good to make it easy for person like ourselves who's hire small people. I got a small business, I run. I pay my taxes. Try to pay my taxes. And like you were saying earlier in the first hour of the show, if it don't change, someone be all going to be on such a service line. Okay, now we cannot run the country like this. And you said, you're dead right. We are rich country. I don't know how he's making this country, because the Bahamas is the sixth most expensive country in the world to live in. I don't know how he's making it. And the only people complaining in this country about the language being in the city every day, it's behemoth now. I watch other people, the Haitians, the Jamaicans, the Chinese, they get in the work and they buy anything. And they ain't got no bunch of weeks and think they wake and they buy and they go sweets. I'm trying to pay their bills. They pay and they rent on time. Many people, please, man, let's go work with them. Go pay national insurance. You ought to have to get people to stop trying to be a socialist state, man. And time to take my call, brother Lang.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah. So here's what I wanted to get to in establishing how events in our lives can us mentally, psychologically, emotionally to lead us, if we're not careful, depending on how we respond to them, to a certain place. So let me tell you what I'm saying. 10, 15 years from now, the Bahamas is either going to be in an incredibly expansive prosperity, or it's going to continue on a downward trajectory toward failing prosperity. Now, why do I say that? Because difficult periods do something for people with a certain attitude. They do. Difficult periods challenge people who are persistent, determined, flexible, and dogged. It challenges them to find a way to be innovative, to be creative. If you look at some of the world's most successful companies, Facebook or Microsoft or Amazon, if you look at some of these companies arose in some of the worst economic periods in our history. Because if you are somebody, and some of you parents, you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of these other folks may not know, but you don't know what I'm talking about. You sit down, right? You have had this experience where there is no income sufficient to meet the day. The rent is due. The mortgage is due. The children are hungry. The school fees or book fees or what have you are due. And you got bills to pay, but you got no or couple dollars and it ain't gonna cut it. You know that. You know that. Now there's two kinds of parents in that situation. The ones who start cussing every nanny buddy and start blaming every nanny buddy and start talking about how the government ain't helping nobody. The ones who talk about how the church so stingy and nasty. The ones who talking about these Haitians would go home, people would have jobs. The ones who, they start thinking about everybody else on planet Earth to blame. Mind you, a couple of years ago, they was riding high on their horse, you know, eating lobster and mutton and steak when they wanted. But now everybody else is to blame for all that's happening to them, and everything sucks in the country. Everything sucks in the world. And that's their attitude. That's those parents. Those ones who sit down and say, thanks be unto God the days when I had good days, but now I got to dig in and find a way. These are ones who say, look here, failure ain't no option. So they press their brain. They tax their brain. They talk to this one. They talk to that one. They awaken. I know some people like that. I have a friend. I ain't gonna call her name. She's a businesswoman. Oh, my God. She calls me every so often, and she says, Shivago, you know, I'm here talking to some friends of mine, and we are looking at some opportunities. We're looking at ways we can make some money, man. She ain't sitting down there on her laurels. She's sitting down there thinking how we can make some money. And I'm talking about, these are people who are pressed by hard times. They think through how to do the next thing. My mother was like that. I watched my mother cry in hard times. I did. But I never watched my mother complain. I watched her cry because it was hard. But I could tell you one thing, boy, she wasn't sitting around. She was sewing, doing what she had to do, trying to make it happen, make it work. That's why, to me, today, my friend, let me tell you something. You could knock me down 10,000 times. You could knock me down 10,000 times. I can find a way. I get frustrated too. I do, but what? I have no time to wallow. I'm gonna find a way. Now, if there is a sufficiency of those kinds of people in the Bahamas in this situation we're now in and have been in for 2 decades, the Bahamas' future is gonna be very bright. Now, I already see some spots of it. I see some younger, maybe not so young Bahamians who, listen to me, man, these people aren't only trying to find new and better ways to make it. These people even ain't thinking about your country. to make it. They're looking outside the country for opportunities that exist in the wider world. They didn't say they're leaving the Bahamas, you know. They are looking how they can produce things Bahamians are doing and make those things internationally appealing. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they fear the press, not depressed, the press. They know that every idea you see on planet Earth didn't evolve from some genius. All of them didn't come away because people are so brilliant. What they have, many of them evolved from, is because people were desperate and observant. They were ambitious, aspirational, and observant. They were looking around the world. First of all, they were thinking, you know what, I would like to be in a different realm. So they already determined that in their minds. You know, I want to be in a different space. I want to do something different. I want to do something I'm passionate about. I want to do something I really believe in. I want to do something that makes me rich. I want to do something that makes people better off. I've seen this problem that people have, and I think I could fix this. I like this thing here, and I'd like to extend this to people. So they're sitting around thinking, how can I monetize this? How can I get this into the broader world and make this something? That's how it happens. They are not sitting around complaining and beefing and blaming every single soul, calling one show, Zhivago show, Dwight show, and complaining about how doggone it, Hubert Edwards show, or anybody else's show, and complaining about how if the government would do this, or if the church would do that, or if this one would, what are you doing, is what they're asking. They're asking themselves. Bro, sis, what are you doing to make it happen? If a sufficiency of those kinds of people exist in this last 20 years in the Bahamas, if those millennials who grew up in this non-prosperous, mediocre, lackluster economy of the Bahamas over the last 20 years, if they have that kind of attitude, I couldn't care less if they plant themselves on some mountain in Africa. They are going to find ways that will push themselves, the community, and this country forward higher and make us better off. And that's what it's going to take. But if not, there's an alternative. And we'll talk about it when we come back from this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my
hand. That's right, boys and girls. Get ready to play basketball at the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp. July 4th through July 29th at the Kendall GL Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall GL Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th.
Taught us that in crisis, humanity will always respond with innovation. What world-changing technologies will emerge from humanity's latest challenges? How can the Caribbean capitalize on the metaverse, blockchain, hybrid work, and more? Join us at the RF Economic Outlook Conference under the theme Future Forces, World-Changing Ideas, where we will explore the future of work, investments, technology, and more. The journey begins on June 8th. Reserve your seat today at www.rfeoc.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Back Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful afternoon. You can call us today on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or 439-3043. So we're talking about possible responses to what has been a sustained, challenging economic period. Let me tell you what I do not wish to do, folks, and please forgive me if it sounds like I'm doing that. If I am doing that, I'm happy to hear from you so that maybe I could correct my course. But I'm not trying to be ethereal about this. I'm not trying to be abstract or theoretical about this. I'm not trying to kind of, you know, give you some airy-fairy stuff about this, right? I'm hoping that I'm being very practical about the reality of the circumstance in which we find ourselves. What I spoke about in terms of the attitude that we can have in response to how is not a theory of mine. It is, in fact, the lived reality of lots and lots of people. Some of you listening to me, you know it. You've lived this. You've lived that period of hardship where you faced the situation, you faced the decision to either let this break you or make you. Where this makes you bitter or makes you better. You've been there. You know it. You know it. I was at a church in Orlando recently, and I was speaking at the church. And I was talking to people about dealing with hardship, the difficulty, right? And actually, I was talking to them about how to deal with anxiety and fear, right? And I asked them a question. I asked the audience, how many of you have been in a bad situation and out of it? And practically everybody in the audience raised their hands. I am gonna ask you, how many of you have been in a bad situation and you thought you might not get out of it? And then I asked, well, how many of you have been in a bad situation for a long period of time and you thought you would never get out of it? And lots of people raised their hands. And then I asked, how many of you have been in a bad situation that lasted a long period of time that you thought you'd never get out of? And so you answer that for yourself. And then I asked, how many of you have been in many bad situations that you thought you'd never get out of? And everybody practically again raised their hands. And then I asked, and how many of you are still here? I asked how many of you are still here, and everybody had to raise their hands, still here. I asked how many of you got out of the situation, almost everybody raised their hands. I said, and despite that track record, still doubt that we will survive, that we will excel, that we will get out of the situation we're currently in. That's just the human condition. Our minds, when it comes to our fears and our threats and anxieties, our minds are hijacked by our emotions rather than our reasoning, logic, and even memory. But that's what we have to draw on our reason, draw on our memories to understand the possibilities of emerging successfully out of our current condition. It's called gratefulness, gratitude. That yes, I remember when me and them had that big issue. I remember when that thing happened to me. I remember when I got ill. I remember when I got fired. I remember that I'm still here. thanks be unto God. Right? I was listening to one of the speakers at RF's conference today. He speaks on disruption. And he was saying how when you are pressed to be innovative and you are pressed to be creative, he says something happens to you. He says, in many instances, you actually get lucky. That's what he said. He said, you actually get lucky. And if you listen to a lot of people who are successful, they'll tell you, yes, I worked, but I had some luck. I believe in luck. If luck is, I didn't plan this and this good thing happened and that's what you want to call it, I believe in that. I also believe in blessings, right? I believe that sometimes the divine intervention just favors you because God recognizes, sees that your attitude and your effort are there. And he says, you know, despite the fact that they may not be enough, I'm going to make up the rest. Like, I believe that God can be an angel investor in many of our human enterprises. Oh boy, listen to Zhivago, this intelligent man gone off on theology and spirituality. Okay, well, bro, that's where I am. What do you want me to do? All right. What I can't do is control what God does or does not do. What I can do is control what I do. And then, hey, if he gets involved, okay, bless it. If luck gets involved, wonderful. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to stand in my own way. I'm not going to not make the effort. I'm not going to not check my attitude, monitor my emotions and feelings, so that those things that I can control become the deciding factor in my outcome. I'm not going to do that if I can help it. I'm not going to do that if I can help it, right? Even if I make mistakes, even if I make bad judgments, even if I make terrible errors, you are not going to find Zhivago lying, wallowing, sitting around, crying, beating up on himself, etc. Now, you're not going to find him. I'm going to take some time and I'm going to do what I have to do to make adjustments. You know, the other day, I spent more than 24 hours. Literally, I didn't pick up I didn't turn on my cell phone. I didn't turn on my computer. I didn't turn on a television in my home. I didn't see a clock. I didn't know what time it was for more than 24 hours. God is my witness. I didn't speak to anybody. I only glimpsed my neighbor once or twice while I was outside, and all we said was hi to each other. That was it, hi, right? I read the Bible. That's the only thing I read. Right? Nothing else. I was alone, absolutely alone with my own thoughts. Incredible. Because we distract ourselves frequently. That's what the TV watching is about. It's an injection of dopamine. That's what the WhatsApp is about. It's an injection of dopamine. And all of the dopamine is important to our motivation and all that kind of stuff. But what sometimes is happening is we keep getting these shots from things that aren't producing any positive results for our lives, because all we're doing is distracting ourselves. When you spend time alone with your thoughts, you get to see the nonsense and crap you're thinking. You get to see with some clarity the things you're feeling. You get to make up your mind and conclude some things for yourself without distraction, without voices from outside, without audio visual inputs from outside. Just you, your home, your nature, your thoughts, and you get to see with some clarity. And that can be helpful to dealing with the challenges that you are confronted with, so that you can, with purpose and clarity, move forward. If sufficient people in this country are like that, are doing that, 10, 15 years from now, this could be a great place to live in again. And I mean great place, I'm talking about economically speaking. Now, if it's not efficiency of people like that, let me tell you what we can be. We can be much like we are today, if not worse. Now you just ask yourself, if you had to live the way you're living right now for the rest of your life, how would you be? Now, trust me when I tell you, there's some people who can answer that right away and say, I'll be good. I'll be good. I would say, I would be okay. I can tell you that right now. I'd be okay. I would, my life would be really okay. I ain't lying to you. If I had to live this way that I'm living right now for the rest of my life, I'd be okay. But I could be more okay. Right? I'm not pressed and desperate. I could be more okay, you know? But I'm not like you know, no, you can't look at me and go, oh, the dude trying to hit the ball out the bar, out the park. Nah, I'm not doing that. I don't want that kind of stress in my life. I'll be okay. But I know far too many people. The answer to that question is, no, bro, I don't want to do this. I don't even want to do this for next year. I don't want to do this for next 2 years, much less 10, 15, 20. Well, if our attitudes arising out of 20 plus years of economic mediocrity, yes, that no government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in the last 20 years, no government in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that can brag about the economy that was generated under their leadership in this country. No government, no administration. That the last administration that could brag about presiding over a sustained economic expansion in the Bahamas that brought renewed prosperity in the Bahamas is the Ingham administration of 92 to 2001. Right? Even Selinden, prior to 92, couldn't boast of that kind of economic expansion within his last 10 years of office. Could not do so. The record is clear. But the Ingram administration, the Christie administration of 2002-2005 couldn't brag about it. The Ingram administration of 2007-2012 couldn't brag about it. The Christie administration of 2012-2017 could not brag about it. Could not. The Biden administration of 2017 and 21 had a couple of years when they may have been trending in that direction, but they got sidetracked, couldn't brag about it. The Davis administration has only been in 1 year. They are likely to see two, three solid years of robust growth, largely because they are recovering growth from a really downturn economy. They may get to a reasonable level of pre-pandemic growth come to 2024-2025, right? So they have an opportunity to preside over. I didn't say create, you know, I said to preside over, because some of these things, you know, you're not creating. It's the global economic environment that fuels that opportunity. But they may have an opportunity to do it. But for the last 20 plus years, no government administration could brag that brag. And so it is a question of the response many of us will have to that enduring period. You're listening to See Live. I'm Shabab Ali, your host. We take our final break, pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Join us on June 8th for the annual RF Economic Outlook Conference, where speakers include Dex Torok, executive at Facebook and Google, John Citaletis, geopolitical consultant to the U.S. Department of State, Keith Herman, serial tech entrepreneur and blockchain expert, and global innovation strategist Sean Canungo. Registration is now open. Find out more at rfeoc.com.
Oh.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this Bleen Radio commercials. Contact us today at 302-2300 or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olam, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, for these remaining moments of the show. If you want to call us in this time, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, great show as usual. I don't know how people make it who have 4 and 5 kids in today's economy. Well, I can tell you this much. Some of them make it, many, most make it with really great strain, right? Others who have the means make it quite fine. But this isn't new. 9 children. My mother had to hustle for 9 children because my father suffered a stroke when he was 39 years old. So for much of my life, she was it. And what happens is they make it because they don't sit down and sulk. They don't sit down and become the victim. They don't sit down and decide everybody's against me. They just do what they got to do. They put their hands to doing what they can do. You can cook, cook. If you can sew, sew. If you can clean, clean. Listen, it's only bad attitude is keep people from getting it done. Doesn't mean you're going to thrive in the material way that everybody else does. Doesn't mean that. But a bad attitude, man, listen, I believe in it. God is working with the people who work it. And I mean working by working, I mean people who put their hands in the plow. He's come through for them. So people can make it. So I don't ask the question how they make it. If your faith, persistency, industry, you'll make it. You'll make it. Gas is. I don't care what the price of nothing is. I keep telling y'all, stop quoting prices to me. Because you don't have to follow the dictates of a price. Yes, the price of gas has gone up. Drive less. Walk more. Ride bicycle. Anybody who lives in Grand Bahama, from time to time, they'll see me at the food store and ask them how I get there. I'm on my bicycle. You heard me, former Minister of State and Finance. I'm on my bike. I can't ride down the road. Then you pick up a couple of items. Well, I can't ride my bike, then get my exercise at the same time. Plan out your driving. Don't go driving all up and down. You go downtown, come down, go to the next place, go back downtown, and so forth, all because you didn't plan it out. Sit down and plan it out so that you make one loop, right? So I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get absorbed by the prices. Difficult times does something to intelligent, reasoning people. It makes them better. It just does. It makes them more capable. It doesn't break them. It doesn't bend them. It makes them understand things more clearly. They come to understand themselves more clearly. They come to understand people more clearly. They come to understand their circumstances more clearly, the times more clearly, and they respond, not react. Respond better. Better. And if they get pushed to their very last end, you know what they can do? They can do what they do even while they're trying to get it done. They're gonna lift their hands and eyes toward heaven and they can say, Lord, well, you know, I did what I could do. And I, whatever she come now, she come. And I gonna be right here. Right here. Right here. Say, serious thing. That's why I listen to your show, because you are an optimist by nature. Actually, I wouldn't consider myself an optimist. I'm really not. I don't, like, an optimist to me is someone who's always looking for the bright side of things. That's not me. I look for the thing, the reality of the thing. So what you could call me is a realist. That's what I am. If I see no possibility in an outcome, I will see that. And I'll be just as pessimistic about it as anybody else. But what I'm not going to do is stare at what I see as no possibility and say, oh, I see a bunch of possibilities. Or I'm not going to stare at where I see possibilities, and because I'm so jaded, say, oh, that ain't going to work out. I won't do that. I am a realist. That's the way I have conditioned my mind. It's a part of some stoic characteristic trait of mine. I'm a realist. I want as best I can get it. I want the facts. That's what I want to see. I don't want nobody trying to fool me. Don't come trying to butter me up. Don't try trying to flour me up. And don't come trying to give me no story and try to sell me on no pipe dream. I'm not buying it. Investors can tell you. I've had investors come to me, tell me, we've got this $3 billion deal and we are just waiting for the IMF World Bank. I said, listen to me, please stop. I've been in this business for far too long. I have no interest in that. That's nonsense. And I'm telling you, I tell them just like that. Oh, I have investors coming, you know, oh, we want to do this for the young people of the Bahamas. I said, stop. I said, let me tell you something. If you're an investor, come do good business, succeed in your business so that the employees and other people who can have ancillary businesses because of your business, succeed that way. And we will benefit. And then if you want to do something for young people, go ahead. But don't try to sell me a no pipe dream up front to try to rope me in because you come to bring us charity. I don't want to tell charity. If you were charity, you'd be a nonprofit. If you're a business for profit, come bring a profitable business here. And together, if it's good for the Bahamas, it'll work out for us. So I'm a realist. And I believe in reality of determined, persistent, positive attitude, people in this country who have endured this lackluster, mediocre period of economic growth in the country, that is going to translate into a better situation for the Bahamas over the next 10, 15 years. I really believe that. But if not, dog eat our lunch, as we say. Now, we might get lucky. We might get lucky. You know, the global economy might push forward with some seriously great expansion. I mean, by stroke of history and accident, can benefit, as we have in our times past, tourism, financial services, from that kind of thing. That's possible. That's very possible. But that's relying on totally luck. I don't think we're going to be there. All right? So where are you? Because you can't know what everybody else is. Where are you? Are you in your feelings? Or have you already progressed to a mood? Or maybe you're in an attitude. That's how far your experience has gotten you and taken you. Or maybe now they're already defining you. Your character is you're a pessimist. You're a complainer. You're the victim. you're broken, you're beaten, you're negative. Where are you? See, what is good in it? Don't make no difference what other people say you are. The question is, how do you evaluate yourself? And the great thing is, no matter how you evaluate yourself, whether you are in a feeling, a mood, a attitude, or a character, you can change what you are. Because what you are is what you created in yourself by your own imagination. By and large, the is a movie of our own making. You are making that movie and only you get to watch it because it's in your head. You're the one who interpreted that experience to be, oh, I'm a dog, I'm a this, I'm a that. You're the one who interpreted experience, oh, I'm a victim, they always beat me down. You're the one who created that movie, the movie called They Beat Me Down. They made me this. I can never get out. There's some good movie titles, eh? And sometimes you create a series of them. You create one of them binge-worthy series. How they keep keeping me down. Or the politician did it. Or this series, the church ain't ready. Or the next series, if my mommy and daddy them were better. We create the movies. We keep watching the movies and we're watching them by ourselves. And the other people watching, they wonder why you're crying. Because they can't see the movie, you know. Only you can see the movie. Guess what? If you don't like the script, rewrite it. You can. Yeah. You can rewrite the script. One of these days, people will be able to tell you, well, you used to say, you saw me? You saw me? What did I look like, boss? You'll never know. You'll never know the circumstances that prevailed around me. Why? What was the difference? The difference was they were writing their own script. Designing their own movie. With difficulty, with challenge, with stressful nights and days. But determined to produce an Oscar award film, not for the benefit of the onlookers, for their own benefit. They stood back, looked at their own movie and said, man, am I proud of that? Receiving not the best actor award, but the most excellent performer award. You. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. I hope you have a great evening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Have a great, great evening.
Take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever.